family, Nancy and I, several years ago, decided we wanted to take a long trip. We decided we were going to start in Miami. We were going to drive all the way to Anchorage, Alaska. And we said, you know, great trips are made greater when you have someone to share it with. So we got together about 10 other families that we talked to about this trip, got them excited about it. They said, yeah, we'd like to go. So we had a meeting in our house, and we got out the maps, and we looked at all the various places we might go and the routes we might take and how much time it would take and what kind of plans we need to make. Am I on?
Not still on. I've pushed it all the way to... Now am I on? Okay, there you go. Well, now you get to hear it again. We wanted to plan this trip, Nancy and I. We got all of these friends together to share the joy of this long trip. And so we met together, and we did. We looked at the maps, and we saw all the various places we needed to go, the intermediate steps, how long it would take, what preparations we need to make sure we got there, what kind of supplies we would need, what kind of obstacles that we might encounter, and how we might, and a plan to deal with all of those obstacles, and set a deadline, a date by which we would arrive in Anchorage with all of these folks, and everybody got together. They were all very excited, saw the maps, saw the plans, saw where we're going, and this is just going to be great. We're all in, and we're all about it. Now, with that many people, we can't all go in one car, can we? So everybody's going to take their own car and be responsible for their own families, be responsible for getting at the starting point, being ready, having all their supplies, fully committed, a full gas, a full tank of gas. And everybody has the map, and everybody has the plans, has their binder, their folder, and then we all take off and leave the parking lot at the shopping center where we're all agreed to meet. We're all there. We take off. Nancy and I hit the accelerator, and we never look at the binder again. We never look in the rearview mirror. And we all know what happened. We eventually got to Anchorage, but after many side trips, lost causes, distractions, breakdowns, because we never looked at the map, we finally get there 3 weeks late, and it wasn't near much fun. And we look in the rearview mirror, and there's nobody else. Finally, 3 days later, two cars finally arrive, because we left them behind. Three cars ended up in Sacramento. Another one ended up in Portland, Oregon. And three more stayed in the parking lot because they gave up, got left behind, just to stay home. Well, that's where this church was 3 years ago. We got together. We solicited your input. We asked questions. We got feedback. And then we got together with the leadership team, says this is where we're going to go. It's going to take 3 years. Here are the action plans we need to get there. Here are the places, the things that we need to do and be prepared. These are the resources we're going to have to marshal. And it's going to take everybody getting in their car, filling their tank, committing themselves to the trip, and staying together. Now, the responsibility of the leadership is to be sure everybody has the roadmap and looks at the roadmap, and that we look at the roadmap and make sure that we look in the rearview mirror and be sure everybody's still lined up. That is the purpose of our presentations in January of every year. It is the purpose of these mid-year presentations. It's Tim and I looking at ourselves as your leadership and then having a conversation with those that are in the cars and saying, okay, are we still on track? We're going here. We set up the roadmap. How far have we gotten? How well have we done? Have there been some side trips, some breakdowns that we didn't anticipate? And if so, what did we do about them? And how can we prevent them as we finish the journey? We are in the third leg of that three-year journey, heading not to Anchorage, but to a Moody church that is stronger, more faithful, more committed, more knowledgeable, more zealous, and more brightly shining a light in this community. That's where we're trying to go. How far have we gotten? How well have we done? Where do we have yet to go? and what do we need to fix to be sure we get there. And that's the state. So we want to look at the state of the church at Moody. I'm going to take about 15 minutes, take about half, then we're going to turn over to Tim. He's going to finish out. He will extend an invitation for anyone whose heart is so moved. And then we'll have a couple of closing announcements at the end of that, and then our closing prayer. First of all, we have decided, Tim and I, with your feedback, that we want to make sure that the Moody Church understands something very, very clearly, and we never lose sight of this. It's very important. Are you listening? It is very important that this church understands why this church exists, and every local church exists. We do not exist to give everybody somewhere to go on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We are not here to provide a place for people who are traveling through to have a place to worship. We do not exist just for our own sake, just to say we're here. God established His church to achieve a threefold mission. We have a work to do. This church exists to preach the gospel to all nations, to constantly build itself up in the faith through diligent study and teaching of the Word of God in its purity, simplicity, and accuracy, and to take care of each other as God's family so we keep it all together, stay unified, harmonious, which is going to be important to achieving the other message. So we want to remind ourselves, constantly re-grease our wheels to know what our mission is. And we try to build our three-year plans around the threefold mission, our annual plans around the threefold mission, our action plans around the threefold mission. If there's something we're doing that isn't related directly to either preaching the gospel, edifying ourselves in the faith, or taking care of each other, we have no business doing it, and we need to stop. If there are things that we need to do better, we need to do them better. If the things we're not doing that we need to get busy in doing, whether it's more diligent personal study, more effective teaching programs, or whatever it is, more effective evangelistic events, then we need to fix those. We don't need to just keep on doing what we've always done just because we've always had. Go teach the gospel into all nations is our first mission. So what are we doing? How are we doing? First of all, we started this year our community Bible study. At least Jonathan did. It's been a very edifying thing. Those that are attending look forward to it. I enjoy it, Jonathan. It is a good thing. And it is getting some response, not in the form of community members coming, which was really how we saw it first, an opportunity to bring our friends to it. That is an unanticipated non-outcome. But what has happened, since Jonathan publicizes this and what he's going to teach on Facebook, and drive a stake down on that word Facebook, it's going to show up again. He has told me he's getting direct engagement and responses from the community about what's going on at Chick-fil-A on Wednesday, Sunday night. Because I asked him, is this dry, well gone dry? Is this something we don't need to just keep doing it just because, guys? We don't need to keep doing anything just because. We need to do things that are fruitful and expedient in achieving our message. Amen? Very good. This is bearing fruit in ways we didn't anticipate. Our fall symposium has been very well received by those who have attended. The format has been very, very expedient. Folks feel really good when they leave that they have learned well and been taught well. The problem is we're not getting many from the community. Now, many of our fall symposia are not really directed at community members. That is something Tim and I and our leadership team are taking a look at. The fall symposia are good, but are they really evangelistic? If they're not, let's quit calling them that. And let's say this is going to be part of building ourselves up in the faith and strengthening ourselves as God's people. And that's good. That's part of our mission too, is it not? So that's something we want to be sure. We know what we're doing. We know why we're doing it, and it's doing it well. Our sing has been one of the most powerful evangelistic efforts we have. Even though it was not well attended, as others have been, it is still powerful in building up everyone's faith that is here who's a Christian, and we get more community members to come to that than we do any other in-building event. So we need to look at why our attendance, and we're going to continue to tinker with that, But we see it at this point as an expedient part of our going forth to teach all nations. Nancy and I, we mentioned to you about a couple that came with us, and they have expressed an interest in knowing more about Church of Christ doctrine. Well, there's been an intervening time where we haven't been able to get together, but both that family and us have continued to say, yes, this is something we want to do, and we've got a meeting with them set up for Thursday night. Will you pray for that meeting? Will you pray that that will plant some seeds that will bear some fruit for the Lord? That Nancy and I will have the knowledge of the Word and the wisdom to expound it, and the compassion and love to say it in a way that it will be effective, that maybe we can plant a seed that might bring two souls to Christ. Would the Sing event, even though it was only attended by 60 or 70 people, will that have been worth doing if two souls are saved for Jesus Christ? You bet. It would be better than having 200 people here and nobody ever gets saved. What else have we been doing? The bracelets. My fellow Americans, I'm going to read something to you right now from the book of Acts. Listen to this very carefully as we look at this and then move on. In the book of Acts, in chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, on that day, that was the day of the death of Stephen, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And listen to this, pay attention, they were all scattered throughout all the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Well, then who was it that was scattered? It was the Christians. It was the lay people. It was the ordinary men and women who had become Christians. The preachers all were still in Jerusalem. Do you see that? Look at the rest of this verse. Devout men buried Stephen, made great lamentation over him. Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He dragged men and women off. Now look at verse 4. Those who were scattered. Remember where the apostles were. These aren't the preachers. This isn't D. Bowman and Jonathan and Ed Harrell and Sewell Hall and Bill Hall and all of our preachers that we paid to go spread the word. All those that were scattered, Jonah and James and Georgie and Benny and me and Nancy and Ethan, the ordinary members were scattered, and what did they do? They went about preaching the word. Now, we don't have to be scattered all over the world, but we're pretty scattered over Odenville, Trustville, Leeds, and Moody, aren't we? What is our mission? Preach the word. Oh, I just can't do that. I just don't know. I can't. I can't sit there. I don't have to. Yes, you do. Here it is. Everywhere you go, you hand somebody one of these, I've got a little gift for you. I had a young man at Arby's, or no, was it Milo's? Got a little gift for you. He said, oh, thank you. He was really excited. And I said, well, you're certainly welcome. Take a look at the website. Take a look at that. I think you'll enjoy that website. Then he said, as I started to walk away, he said, you got some more? I said, well, yeah, I got some in the car. Give me some more. I said, great. So I ran out of the car, brought him a handful of more. And as we left, he looked at me as I was going out the door. He says, I'm giving these to all my friends. Now, have any of those friends showed up at a building to be baptized? I don't know. Are they studying? Have they gone to this and maybe heard some of these words? Is the gospel being spread? My friends, there isn't anybody in this room who can't preach the gospel. It's just a question of whether you want to. These bracelets are very simple and highly effective, and we've given out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and Richard has ordered some more. We need to keep doing that. Cook Spring Singing is very well received by the residents. Those of you there, those people are loving that. Are we going to convert somebody? I don't know. That's not our end of the stick. Do you realize that? We plant, we water. Let God take care of the increase. But don't let it ever be said that there was no increase because we didn't do any planting and watering. Amen. Our job isn't to convert everybody. Our job is to go teach. Thank you. Conversions. We haven't had any yet, but I don't know that's not going to happen. So what do? We keep chopping wood. We keep chopping wood and we pray over it. What about restorations? None. What does that mean? We give up? No. We keep praying. We be patient. We be persistent. Ricky and Debbie and Katrina and Yvonne do not resent the contact. They appreciate it. I'll never forget the last time Ricky and Debbie came back. I had been sending them cards and letters and texts, as I had many others here. I know Benny does, because they tell me. And I finally said, it's just not doing any good. It's just going down a dry well. Next Sunday, there's Ricky and Debbie. Taught me a lesson. Don't ever give up on the power of the Word of God. Just keep chopping wood. Now let's talk about Facebook a little bit. And boy, I believe it's an end sign, apocalyptic end time sign to see David Miles up here trying to talk to people about Facebook. But I'm a convert. Now I have a Facebook page. I haven't kept it up. So this, I got two audiences here. Those who are Facebookers, those who are like David, they kind of get it, but they're not Facebookers themselves. And those who go, oh, that's all that. I don't know why. Victor, I'm just messing with you, Victor. I'm just messing with you. So those are my audiences. But I am a convert to the power of digital evangelism. We do live the gospel meetings, my fellow Americans, as an evangelistic tool, died 50 or 70 years ago. If you don't believe it, go to any gospel meeting you want to of any church anywhere, and who's there? People from other churches. And then the churches for years have been, we have two gospel, are y'all evangelistic? Oh yeah, we have two gospel meetings a year. We bring in the big names, we bring in Ed, D, whoever, and boy, we have a great time, and it's a week of power. Well, who'd you convert? Well, nobody. Who was there? Oh, we had people from all over the brotherhood. Well, good. They're already Christians. We fool ourselves into keeping doing the things we've always done, pretend they're what they're not. If they're just edification, that's fine. Let's quit pretending. What are other ways to get the gospel out there? The sheaves aren't going to jump into the barn out of the field, will they, Benny? What do you got to do to go get sheaves? You got to go out in the field where they are and cut them down and bring them in. Facebook, I am convinced, is a powerful way, and let me look at two points. It is not a substitute for personal contact. I do not believe for one second. Now, I might be wrong, and I would be real surprised. I don't believe anybody is going to be baptized into Jesus Christ as a result of Facebook itself. This is not being presented as some sort of panacea to cure every issue that we've gotten converting the lost. It is not. But it is a tool that fulfills our real aim. When we have our singings, our singing wasn't to convert people. Our singing was to make a contact that then we could follow up on and perhaps then sit down and have a personal conversation. That's the point of Facebook. And it's very powerful. I'm going to throw it. It's to get people hooked in and open a door for a conversation in maximum numbers. And here you are, Victor, at minimal cost. If I didn't love Victor so much, I wouldn't pound him so much. But let me assure you, he gives out as much as he takes. So I just have to have the mic. Love that man to death. You ought to too, Linda. Has it worked? I asked Nathan. He and Jonathan have been on the point of getting us into digital evangelism. They've done a terrific job. And I commend them, and I know the Lord does as well. Let me give you some statistics that popped open my eyes. And I'm going to explain what this means in a minute for those who are not Facebookers. Those of you who are, you know what this means. Between June 7th and July 4th, this is in comparison to the previous period, we had a 665% increase in the number of people who viewed our Facebook page. Is 665% increase pretty good? What if we did that every month? That's not impossible. It's not. The way Facebook works, and I'm not going to get into the weeds of that, Facebook is like a pyramid. It's like a self-generating, geometrically expanding tree. Because those 199 people who viewed it, they turn around and send it to 199 more, who turn around and send it to 199 more. This is just the front end. Who knows what that percentage would be if we knew who all else that had been sent to. Do you understand that? New likes, that means people who were sent an invitation to view our page and accepted the invitation. That went up 533%. What if everybody you invited to come to a gospel meeting, what if that percentage went up 533% by the time we have our fall meeting? How many really believe that's going to happen? It's not. The greatest predictor of the future is the past. Our past experience, not just here, but in every church, inviting community members to the traditional gospel meeting is pretty much a dry well. This is not. Here's another statistic. 779 engagements went up 509%. What's an engagement? That's somebody who sees the page and then engages with it in some way. They like it. They simply click, say, I like this. This is good stuff. That's good. It could mean they shared it. Not only is this good stuff, I want other people to see it. Or it could mean they commented on it. They're really engaged in it. Now, I've heard this. I want to say something back. And when somebody makes a comment, that means you do what? You comment back. And maybe there's the start of a conversation that can bear fruit. We are reaching, the number of people we have reached has gone up. Oh, I love this. 5,093%. Wouldn't you love to have a gospel meeting in the fall and then in the spring our attendance goes up 5,000%? How many expect that to happen? It already is happening here. And that's how much it cost us. How much does a gospel meeting cost? How labor-intensive, Dorothy, are sending out invitations to our singing? Because Dorothy pretty much does the work for us. We print out 600 cards. She spends days putting stamps on them. And we pay $200 or $300 for the postage and the addresses. And then out of that 600, we had 60 show up. 30 of them are people. Are we getting a bang for the Lord's buck, bidding with that? For $15, we reach 4,000 people. We have over 2,000 people who follow our page. That means they get it, they look at it, and they interact with it in some way, typically. Now, here is something I want you to know. It is working. We've got leadership that are making sure it's working and are continuing to build on it. I want you to look at those 19 new likes. We had one member who wanted to remain anonymous, but I will give you his initials. They are Nathan Miles, who said, full disclosure, when he gave me that statistic, and he didn't give this to brag on me, to brag on him. Well, you brag on my kid, you brag on me. But to illustrate how this was working, which he was trying to explain to me, which that was an interesting conversation. He said, full disclosure, 12 of those new likes, those invitations I sent, and I cherry-picked who I wanted to send it to. 12. 533%. That means the other 7 may have come from one other person or 7 other people. We have more than 6 or 8 people here that are on Facebook, my friends. Here's your exhortation about what we need to do. What if every single person here who has a Facebook page every single Sunday issued 19 invitations to people and they said, this is like inviting people to come to the gospel meeting. They say, yeah, I'll be there. And they come. Do you see that? They're getting the gospel. This is powerful stuff. So pressing on. Facebookers, you need to be more intentional. You need to be planned. You need to be consistent in sending out your invitations for people to like this. Some of you, like Karen, have jillions of friends and followers. That's a round figure, jillions. Some of you are like that. I've already talked about that. Now, non-Facebookers. Talk to the rest of us who may not ever get digital, ever. We need to quit going, oh, rum, bah, bah, why don't we do it old school? Well, we had gospel meetings back in 1952, and they were great. We set up the brush arbors, and people came from all around. And I don't know. Here's why. Everybody needs to support this effort, encourage it, give out your bracelets, tell people to get part of it, because it works. Here are some things coming up, evangelistic. August 25th, Invite a Friend Sunday. Jonathan's going to say more about that. What that is intended is for a person that you have had, not for you to go out and invite 30 people, but that one, maybe two people that you have had ongoing conversations with about the Lord, about church. That person. We're going to have a particular lesson on that day that's designed for a building that's going to be filled with people who are from the community hearing the gospel. Invite a friend. You got to be working on that now. And he's probably going to preach on why people who use instrumental music are going to hell. No, it's not that. You understand that. It's not those make them mad topics. We make them mad after we baptize them. October 5th is Oktoberfest. We're going to start getting ready for that right now. You're going to be called on to hell. Be ready. Now, here's the other thing that's coming is strategic planning. We're in the third year of this plan. It's time to start making the plans for the next year. Does that just astound you, 2020 through 22? I can't even begin to imagine that. That's just beyond me. That's like something out of 2001, A Space Odyssey. Which, by the way, that movie that was so futuristic was set in 2001. What happened to that? We need everybody in this building over the next, from now on, if you haven't already, to be praying about where we want to go in the next 3 years, studying the scriptures, and envisioning where this church. A strategic plan is designed to take an organization from where it is to where it needs to be. What is this church not yet doing in its threefold mission that it needs to do? We need to be thinking and praying about that. We're going to be surveying you, ask you to write some things down. On October 13th, we'll be meeting with our leadership team to really start in serious ways making those plans for the next 3 years. And we will hope to have that completed by the 15th of December and then presented in January. Then our second mission is edification, growing up in every way. We've been in the middle of our People of the Book study. I will simply passingly remind you what that's about. This is what that is about. Look at this. The reason we are in this three-year study is to, first of all, build our own confidence in our knowledge of the Word. And you get confident in the Word the more you know about it. And the only way faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... If you want... Lord, give me great faith. Well, He will. He's done that for you. He says, okay, here it is. You want great faith? Get this off the table and dig in it. You'll get greater faith. Now, the rest of that story is number two. To give us confidence with that deeper and broader and richer knowledge of the Word and what it's about, what the story of the Bible is, to have confidence to sit down with somebody rather than being scared to death and getting the deer in the headlights and go run for Jonathan, to say, I can have this conversation. Because I know what I'm talking about because I've studied it. To give us confidence in taking the story of the Bible elsewhere. So that's what we've been doing. And you know the 3 years, we're now in the third of those, and that is, or rather in the second of those, the establishment of the church. And we're going to then end the year by looking at what are called the universal or general epistles that aren't addressed to any specific church necessarily, but to all Christians everywhere. Growing up and everywhere, our young adult in-home classes are in full bore. Richard and Nathan providing leadership in that. Our ladies' Bible class has been great. Many thanks to the leadership of our ladies, Karen, Cindy, Nancy, many others that are working on that and keeping that going. We need more and more people to attend. Our singing workshop has been very, very good. That helps us worship better and be more effective. The community Bible study has not only been evangelistic, but it's been very edifying to those who are Christians. And our children's classes. I want everybody here, before you walk out of this building, and now listen, I want everybody in this building, before you walk out this building, I want you to go down that hall and peek in these classrooms. They are gorgeous. And that's because somebody walked in and did this, like Mary Poppins, and it all was there. Cindy, Karen, others, Nathan, many have been up here hours and hours. Our children's classes are at a level now they've never been before. Our children are being reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in this building at a level that is spectacular. And these teachers and these workers, and Nathan does as the deacon, that's part of his purview, work very, very hard. And that is going to be the foundational cornerstone of this church's long-term stability and perseverance. We're going to have an edification event with Philip Shoemake. We've studied from Long-Term Zeal, the book he wrote, and our ladies' Bible class. He's going to do a presentation on that. Mark your calendar, commit yourself to be here, and commit yourself to pray for its success. And commit yourself to study the scriptures daily as he preaches to be sure what he's saying is true. Don't just accept it because Philip says it. and then invite some friends. I think they'll get something out of it, particularly your fellow Christian friends. I think would be the most appropriate to bring to this one. And with that, I think it's you, aren't you? Aren't we up to you?
Yes.
Benevolence. All right. Thank you. Tim?
As we think about fulfilling our mission on benevolence, it's more than just giving money towards it. It's giving our time. We look at our struggling members. It's visiting, calling, contacting them any way you can. Sometimes it's running into them at Walmart and taking a moment to talk to them. We also need to remember our shut-in. As far as contacting our shut-ins, we can do better, and we must do better. Because that's that contact we need with each other and to continue that contact. Also, when we look at the state of our facilities, we know that we've had the fuel upholstery. It was $4,800. It definitely has, it looks better than the worn out fabric we had. We're working on trying to get a sign, trying to get one that's appealing, but it's in process and it's going to be more than a what we get out there now. Yes. But at least we got something out there saying who we are. We're trying to get quotes for flooring. We haven't got them yet, but that's replacing the carpet in the foyer and in the hallway. When we think about our classrooms, we won't have to plan on that. And it's not an easy plan about, you know, trailers outside or how to rearrange stuff. There's just not a lot of space. And hopefully we will have that problem next year or this year even, that we will grow enough to where we will have to find something and do something quick. But we're trying to plan for that. Landscaping has been upgraded, partly due to the county telling us we had to remove our sign. But particularly Ray and Terrell, we want to thank, special thanks to Terrell and his grandson who showed up an hour early with the equipment and had everything out, ready for, nearly for sod to be laid. We really appreciate that. As far as the finances, we have at least a 5-month operating reserve now, and that's good. We'll probably dig into that for the sign and for other stuff, but we're pretty stable in that. Our average contribution so far weekly has been about $2,100 with a budget of $2,200, so we're almost meeting that. But we've got monthly expenses averaging about $8,500. So that is normal. Sometimes it's higher because we're doing more work around here. We're also looking at adding another exit door to the building. We know that there's going to be many challenges ahead, just taking care of the building, finding ways to increase our classroom space, but are we going to be pressing on supporting gospel in the field? Well, if we're not, why are we here? If we're not about going out and teaching others and inviting people from the community and teaching them and trying to spread the word of God, then why are we even here? Because that's our purpose. We also realize that as we go forward, this is going to require commitment, faith, wisdom. and also money. It's just a simple fact. Even as we look in our daily lives, everybody wants money. But we're not here to be a source of only focus upon that. We just want to be able to get the word out to help build this church, grow this church. And really, the best problem we can have is a lack of space. We'd like to see all these pews filled up. When all these pews fill up, we're going to be cramped. But we want to be cramped. When we look at the directory breakdown, we're down a few overall of our total. We are down in our households, adults, but our minor children, we've got 14. And we need to be prayerful that we'll add to that by August, by three more. We can't never stress enough to on the issue of prayer. Praying for each other, praying for the ones that we meet, pray for our extended families, pray for the community and this nation. We are to be a people of prayer, praying for each other and for everyone else. And we have to continue to do that. When we think of along the areas of pressing on, we need to be people who preach the word. And we have to be ready and willing to do that. Part of the thing about having this three-year period of going over the books of the Bible is so that we're comfortable with knowing how it talks about Jesus and how we can talk to others about it. We need to build upon our tradition that we have here at Moody, and that is the love, the harmony, the joy, the commitment. We think about thinking and acting like a big church. Well, that's just planning on growth. And that's trying to get out and do the work of a big church even with a small number of people. We have to be about acting. And we have to realize that the end of what we do is better than the beginning. And we're further along now than we were 3 years ago. But we still need to grow, and we need to increase in what we're doing. We realize we've got to be unified, lovingly committed to one another. We've got to remember, even as older people, we need to focus on the youth, and because they are the future of the church. When their finances were sound, we've made improvements to the building, and we'll continue to do so. And our mission is focused on evangelism and edification. We need to continue to have greater benevolence, focusing on our shut-ins, those strugglings, an increased commitment to giving of our time, of our effort, of our money, of what God wants, and that's everything we got. We also need to be about teaching and personal study, teaching those around us, but also personal study to grow our faith. We need to evangelize to reach the lost. We need to build the bonds within the church and with those that we have, we know outside the church, and try to attract people. And we need to do all this with prayer. That His work will be that which is done correctly, effectively, and powerfully. Let's pray at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we realize the one thing that we have to do is to press hard after you. We have to give you our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, our strength. We have to give you everything that we have in order to be truly thy people. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we will always focus upon thy word, upon thy teaching, that we'll find comfort in that, even in the difficult times. We know, Heavenly Father, the world we live in or not is not receptive to the word often, that it can be violent, that it can be troublesome, that it can be problematic. But help us to overcome that. Help us to find the strength in thy word and in the support of one another. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help us grow in faith, that you help us grow in might, that you help us grow in presence. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will watch over all of us, that you will bless us, that you'll keep us all safe, and that you will continue to allow our influence to infect and influence others. We ask thee to go with us throughout this life, day by day, hour by hour, until one day we will be home with thee in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. But one thing we have to realize, doing all this work and doing all this planning and doing everything that we have is not worth anything unless we're committed. That we have rooted out the sin in our life, that we are living lives that we should be living, that we have faith in Him enough that we believe and that we are baptized and that we arise to walk in that newness of life. Without sin and looking not to sin. But if we have gotten a place after that that we are burdened by sin, we are here ready and eager to help you. We just ask you to come forward and let your request be made known.